Okay.
Sitting visiting with my son Mark, and he wanted to have a discussion tonight, and it's entitled
The Grace of God Through Faith.
The Grace of God Through Faith. Probably, first of all, we need to define the terms. We've got grace, we've got God, and we've got faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of people out there that are promoting what I call cheap grace. That, you know, God can... you can claim the grace of God and live any way you want to live. That's cheap grace. That's not the grace that we find in the Bible. The grace that we find in the Bible comes with it that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So, anyway, the grace of God. What is grace, Mark? What is it?
Unlimited favor? Unmerited favor?
Unmerited favor. In other words, what does it mean when you can't merit something?
Grace comes from God.
Okay. And we can't earn it, right?
No.
In other words, we can't buy it.
Uh-huh.
We can't work our way into it. We cannot manipulate God to give it to us. There's nothing that we deserve to merit God's grace. It's a free gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the definition of grace is unmerited favor of God. Now, what is the definition of faith?
God helping us out.
Okay, God helping us out.
God giving us the faith to make it through another day.
Okay. Faith is
a gift of God.
Is a gift that God gives us that causes us to believe upon His Son.
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians it says, He says here in the 8th verse of the second chapter of Ephesians, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now the cheap grace people leave out that part of the verse.
In the second chapter of Ephesians?
Yeah, I'm looking at the 10th verse. Okay. The cheap grace people leave out created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you go and start preaching a sermon about walking in good works, the cheap grace people want to throw you out on your ear because they say you're a legalist and you're preaching legalism. The Bible says that we are to walk in good works. And but the important thing here is, back on subject here, because the title of the discussion is The Grace of God Through Faith. He says in the... Why don't you read the 8th verse there again?
"For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God."
So having the ability to walk in good works, having the ability to believe the gospel that Jesus Christ saves us from our sins, having the faith, you know, there's another passage of Scripture that says that He's the author and
finisher of our faith.
Yeah, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now we know the definition of God is all supreme sovereign. All supreme sovereign. Only one God. A lot of people have a lot of little g gods. But by the very definition of God, the fact that He is all supreme and sovereign, by Him giving us the grace and the faith, we can be sure that this mercy and grace that He gives us will continue us with us forever. Look in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And Mark, read the 9th verse there of the 2 Timothy, first chapter, and the 9th verse.
You have called us. It has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
A lot of people forget that passage in 2 Timothy, the 9th verse. It says that this grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus, it was given to us before the world began. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, over in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, read the 19th verse.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
What does that scripture mean to you, Mark?
Obey God. Obey Jesus.
And what does the first part mean?
The elect of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Okay. God knows who are the ones that He is given to the Son, and He knows who are the ones that He's given faith. He knows the ones that have been recipients of His marvelous grace. And now let's look back in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, I want you to go back to the 8th chapter of Romans. And now, this grace that we've talking here, the grace of God through faith, you know, the golden chain of salvation, a lot of people have called this. But we know that God is special people. Read the 28th verse through down through the 33rd verse for us.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. To the 34th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also called, and whom He called, then He also justified. And whom He justified, then He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
It goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's what I would call amazing grace. That song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And this is a declaration here of the sovereign grace of God working in the actions of God in predestinating and calling and justifying and glorifying all of his people. Now, we also see that the grace of God through faith, we know that, let's look back in Hebrews, and we'll find in the 11th, this is called the faith chapter, 11th chapter of Hebrews. Read the first verse and the third verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
You know, remember Thomas and... he was very, very, they call him Doubting Thomas. We're all Doubting Thomases, but he said, unless I thrust my hand in his side, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands, I will not believe. Well, Christ was very gracious and came and showed him where he had the sword had pierced his side, and where the nails had pierced his hands. But he said, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Well, the faith comes from, again, the Father imparting faith through the Holy Spirit, bringing it to us and conveying it through us. And here it says, all of these people were given this gift of faith. It goes down through the list. It says also in the fifth or the sixth verse, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But a lot of people have it backwards, because they think that faith is something that you drum up of yourself. They think that you can just all of a sudden say, I'm going to increase my faith, and it's something that you do of your own nature. Well, if we're born and conceived in sin, and if we're dead in our trespass and sin, we will not have faith. We have to realize that faith comes from God. It's a gift from God. And once we realize where faith comes from, now let's look back in James. In James, he says here in the sixth verse, But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, he also goes on, though, and says where this gift of faith comes from. Read the 16th through the 18th verses.
Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
So here we see that James tells us not to err, and he goes on and says that this faith, the grace of God through faith, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And he says of his own will, we've talked about the fact that there's no free will, and here he tells again of his own will, being God's will, beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits. Okay, now we're going to look back at Galatians. And what we're going to do is we're going to read a passage in Galatians. The first chapter of Galatians, Paul tells us where grace and faith come from. Read the third verse there, and read also the third through the fifth verses.
What chapter?
First chapter.
Third through what? Three through what?
Through the fifth verse.
Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so here he tells us that grace comes from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that this grace was given to us, and it delivered us from our sins, because Christ gave himself for our sins, and it was according to the will of God, and all the glory should go to him. And here he's warning these people in Galatians, that he says in the next verse, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and another gospel. There were people that were now, had come into the church, that were trying to get the Gentiles to be circumcised, to go back into a works doctrine. And he said this was perverting the gospel. This was not a gospel based upon the grace of God through faith. And he warns them not to go back into this false teaching. And he even had to withstand Peter to the face over this issue. And he says in the third chapter of Galatians, the first verse, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? And he warns them that they should not... Well, read the 21st verse of the second chapter of Galatians.
I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
He says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, where it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, the message today in this discussion is that all of grace is of God, and that he has given us a wonderful, wonderful gift, and that gift is something that equates to eternal life for us. He's put all things under His feet, and He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And so, what does that bring to us? That brings to us great comfort, because we know that Christ has paid all the price on Calvary. But you know what? This was done. There was a covenant before, between the Father and Son, before the beginning of time. Let's look in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Fourth chapter of Hebrews, and we'll kind of bring this discussion to a conclusion here on this topic. Fourth chapter of Hebrews. Read the second verse.
For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
But he says, for we which have believed, in other words, what he's saying there is, for those who have been given the gift of faith to believe, do enter into rest. As he said, as I've sworn into my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And you go on down there, read the ninth verse.
There remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God.
So we can rest in knowing that He's the author and the finisher of our faith, and that this grace and faith that He gives to us is eternal, is eternal salvation. Now let's go over to the fifth chapter of Hebrews and read the ninth verse there.
And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey Him.
One of the marks of a child of God that has received grace and faith is that they will be obedient to God. That's the obedience does not precede faith. The obedience does not precede the gift of grace, but it is a result of God imparting grace into the heart of the believer. Well, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And Mark, why don't you read the second verse?
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So who's the author and finisher of our faith?
Jesus.
Jesus. He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's done all the work. He's completed the work. He authored it, and He finished it. Father, we thank You that You are the author and finisher of our faith, and that this the grace of God comes through faith, and that we can take great comfort and rest in knowing that You have done the work for us. We ask that You would continue to cause us to follow in obedience to Your word, and we know that You will preserve us. We know that this gift of faith is eternal, and we thank You for the comfort that it gives us. We ask You would take this lesson and bless it to Your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.